To talk about 24 because a lot of, well, not too much, but some interesting things happened this week. So let's get started. Okay, so Jack has been exposed to this biotoxin and he's being inspected by the CDC, and this doctor named, I think it was Dr. Mazur, tells him to get undressed. So he tells her that all he knows about this bioweapon was that it was developed in Sangala, and all the victims of it suffered from dementia and paralysis. How fun, right? And he said he was exposed for about 2 minutes, and it was in a pressurized canister. And as he's getting undressed, we can see all of the scars that he has obtained over the years. And it's really sad. And the doctor just kind of looks at him and he's like, I've had these scars. This isn't a reaction to the biotoxin. It's really sad. Larry fills Janice in about what happened to Jack and what happened at the, wherever they were, the port of Alexandria. And says Jack may have been exposed to this toxin and Tony might have been taken captive. So all in all, it was a pretty successful operation, right? And he tells her to update all of the divisions about Starkwood because they're bad. They're bad people. Jonas Hodges' his men have taken Tony hostage and they took him back to Starkwood. And he's not talking, he's not telling anyone about anything. Jonas Hodges says Tony's brave, he knows the psychology, he knows what we do, because he does. And for a minute there, I thought that Tony was going to talk. He kind of had, so I still think he's really mysterious, and I wasn't sure, but he did a good job. So, then he tells all of his men they know we have the weapon, and so they're trying to get it ready to move or to use it, and this guy who's engineering the weapon says it'll take him 2 hours to get it ready, and Jonas is like, they're coming with everything they've got, and the only thing that is going to stop them is if you get these ready. We need to get these weapons ready before they get here. Then they try to interrogate Tony and get him to talk, and he's getting beaten up, and Hodges says, I know your profile, I know you've had some heartbreaks, you can just tell me. I can't say you'll walk away smiling, but you'll be alive. What a loser. And then Tony, he says, I don't know anything, I'm sorry, Mr. Hodges, and Jonas is like, I'm giving you a way out, and then Greg, I think his name is, I put Rory because that's the name of the actor, but Greg comes in and he's like, may I speak to you for a moment? This is supposed to be a covert operation. Maybe we should destroy the evidence while we still have some time, because he's kind of freaking out. Well, it seems like he's kind of freaking out about the whole thing, because the FBI now knows that they have these weapons. And Hodges is like, I can't believe I'm hearing this from you. We've invested a lot of stuff, a lot of crap to get these, and I'm not giving them up. And Greg is like, you're risking this whole thing. You're risking everything that we have worked for. And gosh. Back with Jack, they took some blood and saliva and spinal fluid samples, and she said it would be 15 minutes until we know if you're infected. And I have to say, at this point, it was like the 15 longest minutes of my entire life when I was waiting to hear the results of these tests. And the CDC did some preliminary tests on the amount of the toxin that was released when Jack, before he was able to turn it off, and she said the levels of it in the air won't present a danger, but we just want to be sure and set up an atmospheric monitor, and then they put Jack in quarantine, but they didn't really, which was weird. But anyways, in the White House, Olivia is telling Allison about her opinion on Ethan, and she has a new guy that she wants to run for chief of staff, or that she wants to nominate, and she said, "I think he'd jump at the chance." Oh, his name's Rick Berman. She said she thinks he'd jump at the chance to serve his country, and Allison wants this guy Bob. I don't really know who that is, but yeah. And she says it could take weeks to find Ethan's replacement, and she's gonna need in that time she's gonna need a provisional chief of staff. And so she asks Olivia to take that position, which I think is really stupid because I don't trust Olivia. I think that this could potentially be really damaging for Allison because, you know, I know she's really excited to have her daughter back and all of that, but I just feel like Olivia doesn't, I don't know, I have a bad feeling about her. Then Olivia kind of resists, but she's like, okay, I will. She needs someone she can trust, and Olivia's someone she can trust. Anyways, Larry Moss, there's a call from Larry Moss from the president, and he tells her that Jack Bauer did not kill either Senator Mayer or what's his face in the hospital, and he was framed for it. And President Taylor was like, "I knew it," and I thought that was awesome. But she was like, "I knew Jack wouldn't do that," you know. So good for her. She's got the way of thinking down. And she asked who did it, and Larry said Starkwood. And you know, why did they do that? And Larry told her that it's because they wanted to cover up that they helped Juma. And Juma allowed them to use Sangala to test their weapons of mass destructions, or their bioweapons. And the president asked what kind of weapons they are, and Larry tells her that they're not sure, but they're probably a neurological pathogen. And there's an imminent threat. They're in possession of these weapons now, and they're on U.S. soil, and they're in Virginia. And he says they don't know if they'll use them, but given their actions today, we really need to go move in on them and see if we can apprehend these weapons and arrest these bad, bad men. So the president decides to assemble the cabinet and joint chiefs to decide what she wants to do about it. It's pretty intense. So then Larry goes to see Renee and told her that he was right the whole time, because he always is right the whole time. And Renee is like, "Well, what could they get from Juma?" And Larry tells her they used Sangala as a testing ground. And she also asks where Jack is, and he tells her that he's on his way over. He managed to secure the weapon, but he was exposed, and he might have been infected. And Renee takes this news really hard, which I thought was interesting. And she actually starts crying, and Larry tells her that she owes her an apology, and that he was wrong to not trust her, and he let his prejudice about Jack get in the way. But Renee, should have kept him in the loop, and she should have trusted him. And she's kind of still struggling with the whole Jack news. And then she's like, "All right, when are we moving in on Starkwood?" So that was a very interesting reaction from her. Back at the White House, Olivia talks to Aaron. He's the one who saved her when Juma had taken over the White House. And she wants him to stay on staff because she's been appointed the chief of staff. And she wants him to be the agent to handle her security detail. And Aaron's like, "You know that I'm retired, right?" And she was like, "Yeah, but I'm going to have you reinstated." And Aaron said there are plenty of fine agents on the roster, but that didn't matter because Olivia wanted him. And she trusts him, which was probably, I mean, I agree with Olivia. I love Aaron. He's amazing, and he will do a good job. So the president is in her meeting, and with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and she says the day is not over, that national security is still threatened, and they put a satellite view of Starkwood up, and it's a pretty big base, and it would take hours to find these weapons of mass destruction, because we don't know what they are. We don't know where they are. And the preliminary report, this was like the most, the worst part for me was hearing the preliminary report, because it is, it states that this bioweapon is a prion variant, and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and that, okay, as a biomedical science major, that was like the worst thing to hear, because then now we're trying to figure out if Jack has this disease, and it is not a fun disease. Prions are horrible, and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is ridiculously fatal, and so that was horrible. I'll go into that a little bit later, because I think it's interesting to see, anyways. So then she says, we can't allow them to possess these weapons of mass destruction, we need to find them and arrest them, and, but everyone's kind of saying, well, the size of the compound is huge, there are 1,500 highly trained mercenaries, we might start a war, and they might use these weapons against our own forces. And the president suggests an airstrike, but someone said there have to be multiple bombings, which would result in multiple casualties, and there are no guarantees that we would get these weapons. We might actually hit these weapons and cause them to go out into the atmosphere. And so the president's like, well, these aren't very good. These are crap options, and I don't accept this. Until we find a way to contain this, we're risking another attack, and I'm not considering that at all. Back at Starkwood, Tony's still being questioned by this guy, and he asks if he's given any more thought to Jonas's offer, and Tony says no. He doesn't say anything. And this guy's just about to shoot him in the head, and then he gets saved at the very last second, of course, by Greg, and he says, I need you to help, we need to stop this. And Tony is like, well, why are you doing this? I don't understand. And Greg says, I'm not spending the rest of my life in prison, because Jonas Hodges has lost his mind. And he says he knows where the weapons are, and he says yes, but he wants immunity. But Tony says, okay, we have to call the FBI, and I can't promise you anything, but we can try to do what we can. So then, back with the CDC and Jack, they put him in an isolation suit to move him, but I don't really think they did that. That's probably because they found out what the results were before they put him in it. I don't know. But he also tells them he's not feeling any different. So none of the symptoms have manifested themselves quite yet. Janice tells Renee that Jack is here, and she's like, oh gosh. And she asks him if he's okay, and Jack very nonchalantly says, oh, the blood work is positive, I'm infected, it's fine, like, the disease isn't contagious, and, oh, by the way, there's no cure. And it's like, Jack, what the heck? Why? Oh, it was a very anticlimactic reveal that he has freaking Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome. Like, what the? Anyways, Renee's kind of flabbergasted, as I was, too, because anyways, I'll talk about that later, not right now. And she also sees his scars, and I feel like the scars kind of humanize Jack more than, Renee, who's been battling with Jack being human, and I think that seeing these scars kind of makes him a human being who feels things, because she's always, like, getting on his back about, do you feel, I want to know that you feel what I feel, and stuff like that. But those scars are hard to look at. I don't know about you, but it was hard for me to see those, and it made me really uncomfortable and really sad. But Jack just, like, totally goes on like nothing's happened. He wants to know what's going on, and Renee's going to debrief him on the canisters. back at Starkwood, Greg and Tony are sneaking around and trying to get to this room where they can make a phone call and get a secure line. Jonas calls Greg and says, "What took so long?" And he said, "I was checking on Almeida." And he asks if Stokes got him to talk, and he said, "I don't know yet." And he says, "I want all my hands on deck because we've got this big weapon to take care of." And Greg tells him he'll be there soon. So he then sets up a secure landline and is like, "Gosh, I never thought he could take it this far to protect his country." And he doesn't understand it. And he should have done more to stop this. He should have called the FBI months ago. But Tony's like, "Well, you're doing the right thing now." So then Tony calls Larry at the FBI, and he says he's inside Starkwood, he's on the compound, he's being held by Jonas Hodges, but he was released by one of his men who wants to cut a deal of immunity. He knows where the weapons are, and they call the president and get the immunity for for Greg. And when they're calling the president, Tony asks what if they knew what happened to Jack, and he said he's here in medical, and Tony asked if he got shot, and he said no, he was infected by this horrible, horrible disease. So then, the president is watching some footage of Sangala that was smuggled out, and it is of the effects of the weapons of mass destruction of this prion variant, and oh my gosh, it was really horrible, and these people were suffering, and it was just, ugh. And we know that Jack has been affected, and we see what could possibly, we could be watching Jack doing in the next couple of hours. And she's upset because they allowed them to bring this in, and we've been feeding this monster, this huge military monster. Larry Moss calls her and tells her what's going on, and she says, she will sign the immunity papers, and they do this sweet thing, and then it's another advertisement for Cisco where they did this like sweet digital signature, and Larry says that we're going to be moving in 10 minutes, and she's looking for other options. The weapons, Greg says, are in a warehouse, 32404.23 North, 11710.42 West. Yeah. And, what is that? Apparently, oh, so they want Tony to stay. Sorry, my notes are confusing me. On radio, they're beyond 480 kilohertz. And so they're going to try to sneak to the warehouse. And, yeah. So, what... that I don't know what that means. Oh, okay, so Jack. Oh, got it. So my notes at this point say, "Got a calf rom Tony," because I type really fast and I don't go back and fix. But I figured out that it means that Larry is telling Jack that they got a call from Tony and they got a location, and Jack wants to go. He wants to go in, he wants to finish this, and Larry won't let him, and he says, Jack is like, "I've seen the canister. I've earned this. Come on." And Larry says, "I know what you've done today. I know the sacrifice you've made. Under any other circumstances, I would want you with us, but we don't know when you're going to start showing symptoms." And Jack, like, he agrees, but it was really, like, ugh, he was so, like, defeated at that point. And, okay. So Greg and Tony make it to the warehouse, and he says that there are probably a dozen or more people in there, and then we see inside of this warehouse, and Jonas and this guy who is working on the bomb says they're about an hour away from being armed, and he's like, "Well, the FBI is on the way," and I noticed that Jonas Hodges was wearing these, like, chem goggles that we wear in my chemistry labs, except they're the really geeky ones for the people who have glasses, who need huge ones that go over their actual everyday glasses, and that made me laugh for some reason. So then The FBI is 2 minutes away, and Tony informs them that there's two entrances, there are heavy doors, two guards with automatic weapons, and then Larry got a signal from the Starkwood Air Tower, and he tells them that they have executive order to search their buildings, and the guy in the tower is like, well, I need to get authorization. And Larry's like, well, we sent you a copy of the order. That's the only proof you need. You will be arrested if you try to interfere. Do you understand? And he's like, fine. And then, okay, so they get there. They stick up the guards. They blow the door. And there's nothing in there. Apparently, stupid Greggy Poo had led them to the wrong warehouse on the other side of the compound. And Greg makes up this whack story about how Tony was threatening to kill him. And he told him what he wanted to hear. And Tony's like, come on! He is totally lying. He played me. And Larry is like, I know. That's what it looks like. Which was kind of a pretty, like, genius thing. Because not only did he buy Jonas more time, but he also got immunity for himself. So that was kind of sneaky and crafty. And then Jonas is watching the FBI storm this empty warehouse on the other side of the compound on a satellite or on a camera, and he's like, well, what do you know? Greg bought us some time. Hee hee. And Tony says, okay, the weapons have to be inside Starkwood. Let's keep looking. And they're going to do a point-by-point search of the entire compound. And then four, I think I counted four, but I'm sure there were probably more than that, probably around, like, 6 or 10 trucks rolled up with armed men, and they tell Larry to have his men stand down. And he said, if you don't want to lose your men, get them to stand down. And this guy comes out of the car and starts talking to Larry, and Tony makes a face as if he recognizes this man. So I wonder what the link with that is going to be. And Larry tells them the charges, that you guys have these weapons, and he says, those charges are absurd, you're on private property, we're prepared to protect ourselves, we don't want bloodshed, but if you move, you will be fired upon. Da da da. Okay, so one of the things that stood out for me the most this episode was Jack. And how he's going to get out of this pickle that he has gotten himself into. So let's go into a little bit about prions and about Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Because, seriously, it's bad. And I have no idea how they're going to play this out. So anyway, prions are basically infectious proteins. And their discovery was actually really instrumental in understanding the mechanism, I guess, of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And I guess one of the more common names that Creutzfeldt-Jakob is known by is mad cow disease. There are two different kinds of the disease. One happens more in younger people, and one happens more in older people, and there is a significant survival rate in the one that affects older people is you die in about 5 months. So, and the one that affects younger people, you die in about 14 months. So really, there's not that much of hope at all, but I guess it depends. I don't really know how to tell the difference between the two. But there is no cure, like Jack said. It's fatal, and there's really not that many techniques that are that effective. I mean, they're still doing research on it, but really there isn't really all that much that you can do for the disease. Most of the ways that this disease is transmitted are by receiving parts like transplants or blood or things like that from other people who are infected with the disease, which is why there's if you've ever gotten your blood drawn in the past, I don't know, when this, probably 10 years, they ask you to read something about Creutzfeldt-Jakob, and there also is a question on the, there's a question on the thing you fill out do you have Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease? I'm on Wikipedia right now, and they have at the bottom cultural references. They just added the 24 reference. It says in the seventh season of 24, a private military company develops a weaponized variant of CJD that kills in a lethally quick 1 to 2 days, which the protagonist Jack Bauer contracts. The president can be seen watching a video of the African-American test subjects of the fictional nation of Sangala collapse due to dementia and other symptoms. So, God, that's horrible. Hopefully, I have no idea. If it kills in 1 to 2 days, we're not going to see Jack die. Unless it's sped up way quick. But anyway, so, okay, let's go into some of the symptoms. The symptoms are really crap. They're really bad. So, obviously, we know of the dementia and the paralysis. So, I really don't want to see these happen to Jack because it's so sad. So, it says, memory loss, personality changes, hallucinations, speech impairment, changes in gait, rigid posture, seizures. Gosh, that's horrible. And these symptoms are caused by the death of brain cells, the nerve cells in the brain. That's horrible. I can't even. Ugh. So yeah, that's what we're looking at for Jack, and I really don't see a way out for him at this time. One of my friends and I were having kind of a long, drawn-out conversation about Jack and how he's gonna get out of this because I really don't see any way for him. But seriously, they can't kill off Jack Bauer, especially not during this season, because this season is kicking butt, and I love it, and it's so great, and that would just be so horrible, and for my impressions were that Kiefer had signed on it for the next season, but I don't know, you know, I'm kind of skeptical of things like that, because you never know if they're just trying to yank your chain. Trying to look up this conversation that my friend and I were having about Jack, and here it is. So, I thought this was funny. So he says, the virus will kill him, but without a host to live in, the virus will almost immediately die off, and then via a standard James load of epinephrine and Jack's unquenchable will to save innocent lives, he will come back completely unscathed. Because that's how he does it before. I mean, he has died before. It's true. He has died before. But gosh, this is... I really don't see a way out. And from the preview of next week, we saw Jack sort of going into convulsions, which definitely fits with the symptoms of Creutzfeldt-Jakob. But maybe he sees that the operation of the... at the Starkwood base compound is failing, and so maybe he fakes a seizure to get them to take him to a hospital or something, and then on the way he jumps out and goes to Starkwood and saves the day. That's my guess. That's my stretch of the imagination to explain those seizures, because otherwise, seriously, this is like the end. It is the end. I really don't see a way out. If any of you guys out there have any explanation or any insight or whatever, let me know. But I guess we'll see what happens next week. It'll be really interesting. Alrighty, that's about it. I thought that episode was really emotionally hard for me to watch. Anyways, on a lighter note, I actually have an announcement to make. One of my really dedicated fans of my podcast has, decided to hold a contest, and it's, I think it's a trivia, let me look it up. It's a trivia contest, and the winner gets a season 7 DVD of 24. So, go on to my website, www.bowerpowerhour.bravehost.com, and it should be either on the main page or it's in the message board for sure, and you'll see contests, and be sure to Be sure to participate, because seriously, that's really cool, and thank you for doing that. It's a really great idea and really generous. So yeah, check that out. And I think the end is sometime in May, so you have a couple weeks to get involved. So yeah, do that. That'll be sweet. And also go on there to find connection with other 24 fans. I'll try to be in the chat room on Monday for the next episode to chat. That's always fun. And yeah, so if you have any questions or comments, you should Facebook me. Just search Bauer Power Hour and you'll find a picture of me with the 24 logo in the corner. And you can also email me at bauerpowerhour@podomatic.com. And yeah, so that's about all I've got for this week. It's been kind of a roller coaster. I don't really know. Not much looked like it was gonna go down next week. It's probably more of a transition, but I'm really excited to see where it goes, because they've been doing such a great job this season, and I really hope they finish strong, because dang, the season's good. So see you all next week.